नमस्ते गणपतये त्वमेव प्रत्यक्षं तत्त्वम् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। वेर द नेचर ऑफ रियलिटी इज डिस्कस्ड देयर भगवान इज द सब्जेक्ट मैटर ऑफ डिस्कशन। If Bhagavan becomes subject matter of discussion, then the discussion becomes satsangaha. Satsang. We all have heard many times the word Brahman. Brahman. I'm repeating Brahman. And it is a nakarantaha napumsaka linga shabdaha. That is why we say Brahman. But what is the actual word? Brahma. And what does this word mean? Any word should mean something, only then it is a word. Because a word in Sanskrit language is called padam. Padam means a word. Why a word is known by the word padam in Sanskrit language? It is very interesting to know. Every word should have a proper meaning. Like the word padam also, in English language, word, what you say, a word, in Sanskrit it is called a padam. Why I am talking to you? See, it's all important to understand Vedanta. Padam. So we say padyate anena iti padam. Padyate means what? Is attained, is reached. Anena means what? By which, by this. That by which something is arrived at is called padam. Look at this. That by which something is arrived at. Padam means that by which something is arrived at. And we also have another word, padaha. A foot is called padaha. Why? Because same meaning. Padyate anena iti padaha. That using which, by which, and another place is reached, arrived at. It is also padaha. Look at this. Padaha is a foot, okay? And padam is a word. Like how by using your feet, you walk and reach another place. By using a word, you mentally arrive at a given object. That's what's called padam. Padyate anena iti padam. That by which something is arrived at. Don't think I forgot your Sanskrit class. I'm remembering, okay? I'm going to, when you feel tired of my Sanskrit lab, Vedanta class, we'll switch on to Sanskrit class. Ripadam. So here, Brahma, so every word should flower. When you say, immediately that object takes you to a given object. Vase, water, table, fan, any word immediately takes you to a given object. That's why padam. And similarly, Brahma, where does it take you to? Nowhere. Okay? Because you do not know. And we say, Brahma, is the word which implies the reality. Reality, we can say the absolute reality or the ultimate truth. And we ask, what is that absolute reality? What is that ultimate truth? That which cannot be reduced to anything else. No? That is the reality, that is the truth. And we do not know what that reality is. We do not know that there is a reality that exists. And we do not know that we need to know what that reality is. We need to know what that reality is. And we say the knowledge of that reality is Brahma Jnanam. We know this. And in knowing the reality, what happens? What happens if we know the reality? And Shastram says, see, the whole cosmos, which we look at it, no, is we don't say, our Shastras do not say, this Jagat, this universe is unreal. Nor is this okay, but this universe is very much real also for us. And our Shastras say, if you know that Brahman, if you know the reality, then you can understand this universe being neither real nor unreal. This universe being as though. Why should I know this universe being as though? Why should I know this universe? What is wrong if I accept this universe as real? What is wrong? Why should I not accept this universe as real? Because I see, I hear, I enjoy. You know, my hunger is real, my thirst is real, my struggle to live my life is real. Why should I not accept this universe as real? This universe is real. We do not say the universe is unreal, but the universe is not as real as you think. This Jagat is not as real as you think. And you have to know the order of reality the universe belongs to. It's very important. If you think this universe is real, you are overvaluing it. Okay? You overvalue. That means what? That is why you become subject to all sorts of problems in life. Therefore, how am I going to look at this universe as then? What is this universe then? You need to know. You have to give due value. That means what? You should know what it is. If it is not absolutely real, then if it is not absolutely unreal also, because I live in this universe, I do experience all sorts of things, I cannot say this universe is unreal. All English translations are wrong. Please, I tell you, when you read this universe is unreal, don't believe it, okay? This universe is not unreal. It is not something which is non-existent. And this universe is neither absolutely real, but what is it then? It is only as though. In understanding this universe being as though, okay, I tell you, you become free from all limitations. How is it possible? How can I become free from limitations in understanding this universe being as though? Okay, that is why in our Shastra class I taught you the word mithya. Understand, mithya is that which is neither real nor unreal is mithya. In understanding mithya, being the Jagat being mithya, you become free from all limitations. What is the connection? Satyam means the real. If you mistake the universe for Satyam, then you have problem. If you understand the universe being mithya, then you are free from problems. But in understanding the universe as being mithya, there is something else is there, because you have objectivity, you develop objectivity. I'm emphasizing this sentence. You develop, you become, you will have objectivity means you will be objective. In being objective, you are free from problems. See, freedom from problems is possible only in being objective. There's no way of becoming free from problems other than being objective. So how am I going to become objective? How can I have objectivity? And Shastram says, in understanding the universe being mithya, you will become objective. That implies another fact also. When you know the reality, underlying reality of the universe, and you resolve the universe in the reality, then you understand the universe being mithya. And that reality is, which is known by the word Brahman. That is why we always start like this. there is a cause and there is an effect. And cause is always, you know, cause has existence. And effect also has existence. And cause exists independent of the effect. This we know very well. Whereas effect cannot exist independent of the cause. And we always give the example of this in the class also. Suppose there is a goal and there is chain. The chain is an effect which is a nama of a given rupam and which cannot exist independent of the goal, the cause, its cause. Therefore, we say existence of the cause. If we remove the gold away from the chain, the nama and rupa will disappear. They cannot have existence. It cannot exist. Therefore, we say existence of the cause is the existence of the effect. We understand this. Existence of the cause is the existence of the effect. In fact, cause is the existence of the effect. Where does the chain exist? It does not exist outside of gold. When you say cause itself is the existence of the effect. Please understand this. Sat, Satyam, Satta. These three words are synonyms. Sat, Satyam and Satta are three words, synonyms, which means existence. So we say existence of the cause is the existence of the effect. Thereafter we say cause is the existence of the effect. Cause is the existence of the effect. Where does the effect exist? Not outside of the cause. So what is that which lends existence to the effect is the existence. Understand? Becomes the existence. Therefore, water is the existence of the ocean. Gold is the existence of the ornaments. Cotton is the existence of the cotton fabric. So we say existence, cause is the existence. And we say, and remove the cause, the effect will disappear. It cannot exist. Therefore, we say that which is there as that which lends existence is the satyam. Existence and which is the reality. Reality that becomes the reality. Cause, the satyam becomes the reality. Similarly, this whole jagat also. When you say the whole jagat, we are being, as an individual, being part of this such a vast universe, as a small peck of this universe. And we have to understand such a great fact. This whole jagat also will be. Okay, nothing if there is one thing, if there is one thing is missing. We say that what that one thing is what the truth of the universe, reality of the universe, cause of the universe, existence of the universe, without which the universe, the word jagat has no meaning. And that vastu, the cause of the universe, the truth of the universe, existence of the universe, jagat karanam, jagat satyam. Okay, that's why the word is another word used to mean reality as vastu. Vastu itself means what? That which alone is. That which alone is vastu. If you ask what does the word vastu mean? That which alone is vastu. So vastu of the ocean is water. If you go and see ocean and you see all the waves, what is that vastu there? What is the vastu there? H2O. Understand? Similarly, the vastu which alone is there, minus which this vast universe has no meaning, that vastu is implied by the word Brahman. And we say, vastu jnanam is what Brahma jnanam is what now satya jnanam, that knowledge. If we know that and we understand that vastu alone is real, okay, that vastu alone is real. Why? Because the vastu Brahman as being the cause, it does not depend upon the Jagat for its existence. Whereas the Jagat cannot exist independent of that Vastu. Therefore we say, existence of Vastu, the Brahman, is the existence of the Jagat. In fact, Brahman, the Vastu, is the very existence of the Jagat. You can say very well, where does the universe exist? You can say, Pare Brahmani. Okay, Jagat Kutra Vartate, Jagat Kutra Asti, Kutra Stitam Asti, Kutra Bhati. Where does this Jagat exist? You can say, Jagat Pare Brahmani. The Jagat does not exist outside of the reality. Jagat exists in reality. Understand? Like you can say, Samudraha Kutra Vartate. Samudraha Kutra Vartate, Samudraha Jale Vartate. Jalam does not location, okay? It is not locating actually. Really speaking, you are talking about the very existence. Understand? Like, we can ask, the Hindu center Kutra Asti. Ilford Pradesh, okay? You can say Ilford Desha, Ilford area Madhye, okay? You can say that. Or Ilford Nagareva, I don't know what to say that. Okay, we say that is a location, but here where does the Vasu, Hamudraha Kutrasti, where does the ocean exist? If you say a ocean, now we have to say Jale, the ocean exists in water. That implies what? Not the location, it's the existence. Similarly, we can say, where does the Jagat exist? Not outside of the reality. Therefore, we say, existence of the reality, Vastu, is the existence of the universe, and Vastu is the very existence of the universe. Understand? Once you know that, when you see, it doesn't exist outside of its own cause, that means what? You have resolved the effect in the cause. How, you understand what I'm saying? Resolving means what? You resolve the effect in its cause, when you know the cause. Resolving means what? You don't undo it physically, don't go and remove it there. In terms of understanding, you see, Vastu alone is. When you see the ocean, and you see, understand the H2O being the reality, and you say, what is, there is only H2O, when you say, when you understand, then you have resolved the ocean and waves in that Vastu. Similarly, when you know what this Brahman is, what this Vastu is, then you can very well say, Brahman alone is there. All that is there is only reality when you say, you have resolved the Jagat. As Mithya, not as Asatyam, not as Tuchyam. Understand? You resolved the Jagat as Mithya, not as Tuchyam. Is what is resolving. Then, this resolving means what? Look at the Jagat as Mithya. In this understanding, you develop objectivity. How does this, resolving the Jagat as Mithya, by knowing the Brahman, the Satyam. Without knowing Satyam, you cannot resolve the Jagat as Mithya. You can simply say, Jagat is Mithya, Jagat is Mithya. You can keep on saying, what do you understand? By saying it. Really have to see the water being the Satyam. You have to understand the ocean is just the name of a given form, and every wave is the name of a given form, and all these waves together constitute the ocean, and this ocean full of waves which make a lot of noise, this has no meaning if we remove one substance called water. Therefore this substantive ocean and ocean full of waves becomes meaningless minus the substance water. If you understand, then you can say, oh, this ocean full of waves, okay, is just Mithya. It is neither real nor Satyam. Similarly, here also, if you understand the Vastu, okay, we do not know that. There is a Vastu, there is reality, and an understanding which you can just say that this, all this Jagat, all these activities, all this Jagat is neither Satyam nor Tuchyam, but it is Mithya. It is neither real nor unreal. It is as though it is Mithya. This, okay, you can resolve. So in terms of understanding, by knowing the truth, when you resolve, it helps you, okay, in how does it help? You develop objectivity. It's not developing, you become objective. Objectivity is freedom. Understand what is moksha, you say? Objectivity is freedom. Being objective is being free. Totally being objective is total freedom. That is what is jivan muktihi. Freedom while living. But the question comes, that is why that many say, that means being subjective is the problem. Look at this. If being objective is freedom from all limitations, freedom from all problems of life, that means the problem is in being subjective. So being subjective is the problem. Subjectivity is the problem. So what do we mean by being subjective? Why there is subjectivity then? Why there is no objectivity? We are not free, we are bound, we have a lot of problems in life, everything affects us. That means we are not objective. We are not objective because we are subjective. Why are we subjective? Okay, why are we subjective? And the Shastram says, being subjective means, okay, the problem being centered on I. Understand? And what is the problem being centered on I? What do we mean by that? The problem of smallness being centered on I. Smallness. I tell you, we have to understand this. We want to go and correct everything in the world for our happiness. Okay? Go and do that and do this. Do so many things for us to be happy. Shastram says, no, that's why there's nothing outside. The whole Jagat is Jagadeva Nandanavanam. The whole Jagat is so beautiful and nice. Nothing in the world is responsible for your unhappiness. Satyam. This is Satyam. Satyam. Puna Punaha Satyam. That is why the whole problem is being subjective is the problem. Understand? Being subjective is also not the problem. In fact, being subjective is due to, okay, your being, your problem being centered on I. What is the problem of smallness being centered on I? This is what is being subjective. Understand? The sense of being small. The smallness being centered on I is the problem because of which there is subjectivity. How can you become objective? People simply talk, be objective, be objective. How can it be? Not that I don't want to be objective. I want to be objective, but I'm not able to be objective. Always I'm subjective. Even when I'm saying I'm objective, I'm subjective. Even when I say I'm objective, I am subjective. You know that. Therefore, the smallness being centered on I is, being subjective means, this problem of smallness being centered on I has to, is it possible? If it is really the smallness centered on I is real thing, then the smallness can never be eliminated. Understand? Never be removed. The real problem of smallness. And what I mean by the problem of smallness being centered on I, because there is something called mind. Okay, look at this. I'm starting differently today. There's something called mind, which is antahkaranam. And this antahkaranam can have any number of notions. Notions, views, perceptions. Understand? Mainly the notion. A notion about a given thing, notion about any object, notion about anything can be there, but there is a notion. Okay? And the notion is, I am small. Why Shastram talks about, because where the problem is, that problem alone has to be pointed out. So I am small is the notion. See, no, any notion is a thought form. Please understand, notion is not physical. Notion is not a gross form. Look at this. Notion you have about anything is what? The notion is a thought form. It's a subtle manifestation which rises and resolves, rises and resolves. Every thought form rises and resolves like a wave comes and goes, comes and resolves, comes and falls. The wave rises above, it resolves. Like that, every thought form rises and resolves. Understand? Like that, the notion also is what? A thought form. And what is this notion? I am small. I am small is the notion. And this notion is there in every mind, every human mind. Why this notion is? This notion being there. I'm small, that notion is because when this notion is, then definitely all the problems are centered on I. Any problem, small, the problem of smallness being centered on I is due to this notion that I am small. And this is where, why this notion is, I am small, why this notion is. No knowledge, no university education, no other means of knowledge can help you to arrive at this problem being there first. I am small, this notion is there. Does a psychiatrist tell you this? The psychologist tell you this? Does a physicist tell you this? Does a biologist tell you this? Who tells you this? Nobody, no other field, person of no other discipline can tell you this problem. Shastram alone tells you. It is even a psychiatrist should be able to tell, which he cannot say. Okay? But he or she cannot say because Banga Manal people are there. That's why he had to, she also. They cannot say. And here we have to say here, I tell you this problem. This is a very fundamental problem. I am small. Please think. Our Shastram very beautifully says, I am small. I am small. This notion is deeply rooted in every human mind. And this I am small, this notion is caused by what? Why this notion is? Who caused this notion? Did Bhagavan create this notion? Who created this notion? Why this notion is? Why this notion is? We do not know. See, we have this notion, and this notion is the problem, and this notion is a wrong notion. That also we do not know. We have the notion, we do not think that we have this notion, and this notion is also erroneous notion we do not know. And Shastram says, why this notion is, if we know, then we can understand this notion being erroneous. Look at this. Why this notion is? Because you always, this is a very small thing, you mistake all the limitations of, you know, limitations. You superimpose all the limitations upon yourself. What do we mean by all the limitations? Limitations means definitely you are endowed with a physical body as an individual. You are endowed with pranas as an individual. You are endowed with subtle powers of knowledge. You are endowed with subtle powers of, say, organs of actions. You are endowed with all these things. And being endowed with all these things, if you do not have all these things, no problem. Okay, that is why you are an individual now. You are endowed with the gross physical body. You are endowed with this subtle sense powers. You are endowed with this subtle powers of organs of actions. You are endowed with this physiological functions. And you are endowed with this mind, antahkaranam, the thoughts. Which constitute the thoughts, where it is a thought which constitute your antahkarna mind. And therefore you are an individual also. And as an individual, And you the, all the limitations of what you are endowed with. Look at this. What you are endowed with have limitations. The limitations of what you are endowed with are superimposed upon you. Then this notion is possible. I am small. And this superimposition of the limitations of this, what you are endowed with upon you, that itself is because you mistake yourself for what you are endowed with. You mistake yourself for what you are endowed with. And that is because why I mistake myself, I do not even know why I mistake myself for what I am endowed with. That is because you do not know, okay, what the self is. I don't want to use the word I today. I understand, you do not know what the self is. That is why in English language when we say the self, and in Sanskrit we use the word Atma, really speaking, self is the truth. Understand? I don't want to say even I or anything. The truth, the reality, the truth of every small and big thing in this universe, the truth of every mobile and immobile thing in this universe, the truth of every visible and invisible things in this universe, the truth of every subtle and gross in this universe, the truth of everything in this universe. Okay? The truth of everything. Anything which was, anything which is, anything which is going to be, okay, for the truth of everything, the reality of everything is the self. Is the self. And therefore we say this, you do not know what the self is. I don't want to say yourself and the I, all those things today. You do not know what the self is, what actually the self is. Therefore, you mistake the non-self for the self. When you mistake the non-self for the self, and anything which is non-self has its own limitations. And all the limitations of the non-self are superimposed upon the self, and thereby it results in what? Entertaining the notion that I am small. So this is this small, this notion, okay? This what is? This problem of smallness being centered on I. If anything else is small, if you say, it doesn't affect you. See, other person, this is a person, he doesn't know anything. When you say, you look at him, no? The smallness in terms of knowledge is centered on whom? Somebody else. It doesn't affect you. Hey, he is not rich, okay? He's an ordinary beggar. When you say that smallness in terms of, okay, possessions is centered on whom? Somebody else. It doesn't affect you. He is a fool. When you say the smallness in terms of being fool is centered on somebody else, you are not affected. So smallness centered on somebody else in terms of anything. Oh, he is an ordinary person. The smallness centered, smallness in terms of position centered on somebody else doesn't affect you. That means what? Why it doesn't affect you? Your objective. See, when we talk about it, smallness centered on somebody else doesn't affect you. Why? Because you're objective. Oh, smallness, okay, I'm okay, okay. He's dull. She is dull. She is ordinary person. When you talk about other people, I tell you, unknowingly or knowingly, this smallness, centered on other person, doesn't cause any problem in you, any pain in you. Doesn't affect you. That is why we have to think the same smallness centered on I becomes a problem. Understand? Is very important. And that is, you cannot help. And now that you want to send this, you know, superimpose the limitations upon yourself, it's not that you want to have the problems hand on you, you are helplessly, you know, having this problem. Therefore, that's why Shastra says, you are ignorant of the self. If you are aware of the self, then definitely you will not mistake the non-self for the self, non-self for the reality. Understand? When you do not know, you are ignorant of the self means you are ignorant of the reality. If you are aware of the reality, you will not mistake that which is not real for the reality. Understand? You don't mistake the mithya thing for the real thing. So you are ignorant of the self, therefore you mistake the non-self for the self, thereby you superimpose all the limitations of the non-self upon the self, then what happens? And then there comes this smallness. The center becomes centered on I. Look at this. When smallness is centered on I, then I am small. That notion gives rise to a fundamental desire. Then you can ask, our Shastra says, why there's such a thing called desire? Who creates this desire? I want to understand everything, how everything is natural. Nothing is created here. Our Shastras do not talk about God creating something and sitting elsewhere happily. That's why here is very clearly said here. Come on, this is how it is presented. That means this problem, one is smallness is centered on I, and naturally that results in that fundamental desire. Otherwise, the very desire cannot come into existence. The desire, there's a phenomenon called desire cannot be there at all if this smallness is not centered on I. Please understand this. If this smallness is not centered on I, the phenomenon called desire cannot be there at all. This is what I want you to understand. Very pressure. What is that desire? In what circumstance does it come into existence, come into being? Our Shastras analyzed very beautifully. Look at this. So beautifully they have analyzed. The desire itself is possible only if there is smallness centered on I. The smallness centered on other person, a third person, a second person, anybody other than you, will not result in any desire. I tell you. Satyam. Understand? And what is that thing? So any desire one has for anything is because by this fundamental desire. And this, what is that? And this, which is a common desire. The common human fundamental desire. Okay, the smallness and on I means what are all the problems mainly you see? I am a mortal. I tell you this, every human mind has this, we never think about it. I am a mortal, I am going to die. But what is that desire will come? I want to live, I want to live long, I want to live long happily. I want to live long happily. That fundamental desire is there in the bottom of every human mind. You go and ask people who are lying on the death beds in the hospitals also. I tell you, if Yama wants to give another chance, they will all like to come back. Okay, nobody wants to die, really speaking. With the pain, the suffering in pain, they may say, I want to die. Really speaking, nobody wants to die. That's a satyam. It's another fact we have to understand. People, we think we don't want to. we don't mind dying. People always say this, I don't mind dying. I want to die. But people do say this, that's not true. Nobody really wants to die. This is a fact. Okay, I want to live long, happily. That very desire comes because of this what? Because of this problem. Understand? And that alone, that fundamental desire alone gives rise to all other desires. That is why Shastram says, look at this. You don't need to make any effort to give up your desires. In fact, you cannot give up and undo or destroy your desires. Why? Because desire itself is a phenomenon which manifests because of the very fundamental, the problem being centered on I. That is why, what is the solution now? What is the solution? And here, the desire being natural, and the desire impulse you to do action, and once you do karma also, you perform an action also, the action does produce a result. When the results are there, whether the result is right or wrong, knowingly done or unknowingly done, those results are looked upon again as punya or papa, whatever it is, the result has to be exhausted. It has to be exhausted means what? It has to really surface one day or the other. It has to manifest. For which you had to become a victim. Okay, in the form of pleasure or pain, you mean, I don't say you. It has to be there. That is when you look at yourself as what, my God, okay, I am bound. Again, another notion. I am bound by all these things. That is why Shastram tells, no, there is only one door which can immediately close. That is knowledge. Okay? That knowledge, therefore, self-knowledge. Self-knowledge is in fact knowledge of the reality Brahman with which I started my class today. Self-knowledge is knowledge of Brahman, which itself is what? Which will not free you from any problem you have in life, which will free you from the wrong notion, will help you correct the erroneous notion which is there. Thereby, this smallness centered on I will be resolved. That is what is freedom. That is how you become objective. Understand? So the self-knowledge will help you correct your perception. The ignorance results in wrong perception. Knowledge results in right perception. Right perception means what? When you know what the self is, definitely you will look at the non-self as non-self. You don't mistake the non-self for the self. When you look at the non-self as non-self, you are objective. When you mistake the non-self for the self, you also become subjective. Understand? Very important. Look at the non-self as the non-self means what? Looking at means you are objective. When you mistake the non-self for the self, you are subjective. Therefore, self-ignorance alone is the cause for being subjective. Self-knowledge helps you to be objective. How can you be objective? By looking at non-self as non-self. When you look at the non-self as non-self, you don't mistake it for the self, then you avoid all other superimpositions. They all will resolve. Then there's no question of not mistaking or anything. The superimposition will not be there. Then smallness centered on I also will be resolved. Then you become objective. The objectivity is, being objective is being free. we better analyze it differently. Is it clear now? Therefore, self-knowledge and moksha, freedom, are not two different things. Ignorance, in ignorance you are subjective, which is bondage. In self-knowledge, you are not mistaking the non-self for the self. Itself is what, when you are able to look at the non-self as the non-self, there you are objective, which is freedom. Therefore, self-knowledge is freedom, self-ignorance is bondage. Self-knowledge itself is moksha. We have to understand, atma-jnanam or self-knowledge and brahma-jnanam and moksha are identical. They are not two different things. Even though initially we started learning, oh, knowledge is the means, moksha is the ultimate end. We read all those things. Now we had to, really go to a different standard of understanding. A knowledge is freedom. Knowledge itself is freedom. Therefore, what is the ultimate end now? You don't need to say, okay? Because what we want is freedom, therefore we say ultimate end is freedom. But when knowledge is freedom, means knowledge becomes the end. That is why if knowledge is the end, means then knowledge of anything, it becomes what? Aparavidya. Knowledge of anything other than the self is aparavidya. So knowledge of an object is aparavidya. Knowledge of the non-self is aparavidya. A knowledge of the self alone is paravidya. So ve vidye veditavye, okay, we say this twofold knowledge, aparavidya and paravidya. So this paravidya, which is brahma jnanam or atma jnanam, and for any knowledge, so this vidya is para or apara. Whether it is atma jnanam or anatma jnanam, jnanam, knowledge, when you say, it is always dependent on means of knowledge. Generally we say means of knowledge is a must. Without that, knowledge does not take place. Therefore, for apara vidya also you learn so many things, gross things and subtle things and visible things, invisible things, lots of apara things, objects of knowledge are there. Therefore, we have to use varieties of that means of knowledge. But here, self-knowledge also requires a means of knowledge for which you cannot use all these senses, etc., what you are endowed with. Even the mind cannot be used as a means of knowledge here. See, instrument of knowledge is different from means. Okay, I'm going to explain to you later on. That's why, and here comes the role of a shastram. Shastram alone serves as a means of knowledge. Shastram alone has to be used as means of knowledge, no, nothing else. And that is why we have this word pramanam. Pramanam itself, if you say, in Tamil also, I don't know whether we've been using this word pramanam or not. Pramanam. Pramanam also used in the sense of quantity. But here, if a prama, in fact, it has come from all of, I want even people who do not know Sanskritam, better know these basic words in Sanskritam. Because pramanam, when you say, it's a means of knowledge. Why do we use this word pramanam? To mean means of knowledge. If you say there's a pra is a prefix. Pra is a prefix. And actually there is one root. It's called ma. Ma is the root. know whether you know Sanskritam, but still I want to know. Suppose this ma, the pra is a prefix there, and ma is a root, and this ma actually means, you know, to measure, to measure. And if it belongs to the second conjugation verb, so we can say mati. Mati. Mati means measures. Mati means measures. You know, mati. Suppose you measure it, take a tape and measure something. How long it is, how short is this, how broad it is, how wide. You measure things correctly, accurate measurement. No, accurately measure. But pramati. Pramati means what? Measures accurately. Understand? Prakarshena mati means what? You can measure improperly also sometimes. But pramati means what? Measures accurately. Accurate measurement is pramanam. Understand? Manam means measuring. Manam is measuring. Pramanam means what? Accurate, accurately measuring. Accurate measurement is what? Pramanam. That is why that by which, through which you measure something accurately is what? Pramanam. Suppose there is light. How bright the light is. Now you can say this. Look at this. There is light. How bright the light is. It is not as bright as the light in India. Okay? It is bright still. It is not, no. This brightness even here is not, no, like the brightness in winter. Understand? And it is spring brightness. So we can say, how bright the day is. How hot the sun is. How do you measure? How you say? How accurately you measure? How? Use your eyes. How do you say it is warm? It is humid. You say the different degrees of warmth you feel. How do you say that accurate measurement? You use your skin, because the skin tells you. No, either your skin is such an excellent means of knowledge. It accurately tells you the degree of warmth you are experiencing of the atmosphere. That is why pramanam means that through which you measure accurately an object. That's why it's what? Knowledge. Accurate measurement is of something is what? Correct knowledge. Knowledge means flawless always. Look at this. Correct. Correct knowledge, right knowledge means right. There's no such thing as wrong knowledge. Okay, either you have right knowledge or you do not have understanding. You are ignorant and vague. That's all you can say. You people talk about wrong knowledge. Okay, knowledge means always right, accurate. When there is no knowledge, you can say there's vagueness and things. That is why pramanam is that through which, you know, the accurate knowledge takes place. And here, for this self-knowledge also, you need accurate, you know, means of, proper means of knowledge through which you understand the vastu atma accurately, okay, without any doubt, without any confusion, without any vagueness. That pramanam is shastram. Shastram eva pramanam. Why only shastram is the pramanam? Next question comes. If you say, why we should say shastram is the pramanam? Without shastram, can't we know self? Many people have this doubt. We don't need shastram. I don't say everybody should study the shastram word by word, every Sanskrit and all this, no, even that's Vedic chant, Sanskrit is very little different also. I don't mean that way. Shastram is the pramana, means one has to understand, you know, the subject matter of the shastram. That is enough. Understanding the subject matter of the Shastram itself is using the Shastram as a pramanam, as a means of knowledge. If you study the Shastram, understand the subject matter of the Shastram as unfolded by the traditional teacher, then you have understood the self. You have understood the reality. That means what? Shastram has served as the means of knowledge. So do we require to study the Shastram? Do we need to understand the subject matter of the Shastram? Without understanding the subject matter of the Shastram, without studying the Shastram, without using Shastram as a pramanam, because study means a strenuous job, it is boring, you know, time and Sanskritam and lot of things. It's a lot of, you know, reservation of inhibitions about that. People talk about meditation. Meditation is the way. Meditation alone is enough for self-knowledge, because many people, especially the new age, okay, meditation is enough for freedom. Now, please tell me, if meditation can help you to become objective, discover objectivity, understand, meditation is the only way you can say. Because meditate, if you analyze, that is why you have to analyze what is meditation. People think meditation is enough. Meditation alone is enough. Practice of meditation is enough. We don't need Shastra Pramanam for self-knowledge. We don't need to understand subject matter of the Shastram. People think that way. Some people think meditation is enough. Some people think even meditation is a little difficult. You know, bhakti is very, very easy, very simple. Bhakti is enough for self-knowledge. And they do not, when they say bhakti is enough, for me bhakti and jnanam are not two different words, two different things. That means their understanding of what the word bhakti means also is different. So if without accepting the Shastra study or understanding subject matter of the Shastram as the means of knowledge, if they want to do anything other than that, okay, for self-knowledge, then will it lead to self-knowledge? Will it result in self-knowledge? If we ask and hear, the answer comes this way. If you have to analyze what is this meditation. What is meditation? How can meditation result in self-knowledge? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.